handle the truth.
Billion.
All right. Well, yeah, welcome. I didn't know where we were at with the music. I was being told to go ahead, but I was just taking my own sweet time with everything. So welcome back to the show, hour two of the final hour with Travis. And Travis is out right now, so I'm filling in for him. This is William Repillum. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, folks, and donate. And actually, if you can, set up a monthly recurring donation. That's what we really need here. We've had a lot of churn, and we need monthly recurring donations here. You know, we had some hosts leave, and with them, I think we had some donors leave as well. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are... The station has been evolving and changing, and we're trying to keep as much as possible not as much as possible. We're really trying to keep the spirit that John Stadtmiller started the station with. If we can't do that, then we shouldn't have the station, because that was the station he started. And, you know, if we didn't do that, then we would be like the Jews taking over the Ford Foundation from Henry Ford. Assuming that the Ford Foundation was started by Henry Ford. I don't know. I think it was, probably. It seems logical that it would have been. But look what controls it now. So anyway, that's not where we're going. We want to keep the spirit that he had. And he did talk about Zionism, and he talked about the Jews. He didn't do it as much as we do, but he did do it. So,
John did a very well-received series. He spent a whole week on the National Intel Report on the history of Zionism. The way it was interpreted, Zionism is racism. Now, I mean, racism, you know, it depends on who's defining the term, of course, but I mean, it's amazing the amount of hypocrisy and double standards you find in Jewish culture, especially when you look to Israel. I did want to just, while I have the floor for a second, clarify. David pointed out my being magnanimous in judgment of Jews with this. I think, you know, it's a case-by-case basis, but certainly there's room to where some of these people must actually drink the Kool-Aid and never look into things and believe whatever they hear or are told, you know, even if that's just from older relatives. But, in a case like Merrick Garland, you know, who knows? I mean, he may even just believe it. And, you know, he hears people who question the Holocaust. He never looks into it. But sure, some people will look into things in their spare time that wouldn't benefit them if the truth is what they suspect. But will they really share those findings is more the question. But,
Well, no, because I think, you know, there's a couple of things that we're going into the area of group dynamics. You know, if you find something that's goes against the grain, you're going to be banished, you know, or at least, you know, kind of on the outs with the group. And secondly, Jews know, especially Jews that are in power, they're very aware that the Holocaust has been the greatest victory they've ever scored in the 20th century. They can use it all the time. It's like the Holocaust card, get out of jail free card. And that's why Blinken, you know, when he first got in office, told that ridiculous story. And he apparently he's in the habit of telling that story all over the place when he goes to meet with other world leaders. And it's interesting. Apparently he told that story when he went to meet with in China. And guess what? They didn't care. So that's kind of interesting.
I've seen, I believe it was a rabbi, a high-ranking rabbi, but a quote from one of these intellectuals among them saying that it's a very successful work of fiction when they were asked about it. You know, just very blunt like that.
Yes, yes. I try to remember that his name. I'm going to look for it here. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like a TV a docudrama. It's based on a true story, but it's been exaggerated a bit over the years, like a game of telephone.
It's exaggerated. It's not. There's nothing to exaggerate because there was no Holocaust at all. There was no. In fact, it's not only not exaggerated. It's a complete inversion of what happened. It's the Jews that have committed Holocausts. One Holocaust you mentioned earlier, David, was the Waco, Texas Holocaust, but that's a very small one in comparison to, you know, like with the firebombing of Germany at the end of World War II in order to kill as many German citizens as possible, because that was their plan. They had a Holocaust plan that was outlined in 1941 in Theodore Kaufman's book, Theodore Kaufman, another Jew, who outlines his plan. It's a 35-page book. You can order it. You can find it. It's very telling. It outlines the Holocaust, the plan to sterilize the Germans and keep them from continuing to breed. The Jews planned to do that. And so at the end of World War I, they used, because they controlled the governments of America and England and the Soviet Union, they used them all to commit Holocaust, very brutal, horrible, horrific, literal Holocaust from the airplanes, dropping incendiary bombs, phosphorus bombs on German towns like Dresden and others, many others, and just wiping out as many Germans as they possibly could at the end of the war. In the middle of all that chaos, getting away with doing that because, hey, it's just war, but the Jews controlling, you know, the levers of power and executing that Holocaust. So these are the Holocausts that were committed by Jews that are going to be exposed in the future. I don't know how soon, but it's truth is going to come out like the sun shining forth. And that's all we're doing, is we're just the sun shining forth, exposing the Jews and the Holocaust that they've committed, because there is no notable Holocaust against Jews ever committed, is what I'm going to contend to say. I feel the truth in me, like it's like I just feel that truth being so self-evident. I just don't think any other people are capable of committing the most evil acts that the Jews are capable of committing. So let me kick it back to you guys.
Preach it, Brother William. Actually, good clarification. You know, I was sort of making a light, a little bit of a joke there about it being based on a true story, a TV docudrama. But your clarification is much more accurate, actually. And don't forget, too, the firebombings all across Japan. And, you know, back in the old days, Japanese built their houses out of, like, wood and, you know, paper, basically. So you know they burned down entire cities. This went up in smoke very rapidly. You're right, there was no Holocaust as they say at all. That's it's completely fallacious. It's a movie, and it served them very well. I mean, it's been the most effective tool they've had in the 20th century, no question about it.
You mentioned black magic, David, And for them to use this Holocaust narrative and also to invert the truth about the crimes they've committed and take the crimes they've – the Holocaust that they've committed and then say that it happened to them and then to use that as the reason to further continue to Holocaust the victims of the Jewish crimes – That's the insidiousness and the evil and the black magic of what's happening.
Good point. I have to agree. Yeah, very good point. Let's kick it over to Richard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the black magic reference has a lot of validity. There are a lot of occultists among a lot of these higher-ups. I mean, I've got into a lot of metaphysical knowledge, especially like the different eras when I was just researching more about how many ways we're deceived. But I wound up, well, when I would look at how, you know, a lot of people would preserve knowledge, you know, hidden, forbidden knowledge, to pass to the next generation. I mean, that's kind of what we do these days with platforms like this. And of course, you can get a little crazy just by dealing with more information than most people grasp. But they'd use words like a seer, or a mystic. I particularly like the word mystic. For a while, I liked the word Gnostic, but then a lot of people said, you know, that seems to allude a lot to, you know, occult. Just Talmudic practices, Kabbalah, and such, the whole word Gnostic, and, you know, sort of got a lot of a negative reception to that. But, I mean, it is, you know, regardless of the culture, it is certainly trying to, I mean, what we have today, denying nature and science with the youth, you know, regarding the realities of race and of gender. It's kind of, well, inabilities, you know. I mean, the whole idea that, well, I don't know. I remember my friend from Denmark talking about tall poppy syndrome. You know, I mean, you know, cut the tall poppies down and cater to the lowest common denominator, like what we have now with our school system. But, so certainly, though, I mean, numerology and, you know, playing with numbers, frequency, vibration, trying to cast spells. I think that a lot of those in power, Jewish and otherwise, will a lot of them, you know, will have occult leanings, you know, toward a lot of these things. I think the things I mentioned are probably a lot more common than, you know, the blood drinking ritual, adrenochrome stuff you hear about, but that seems to capture the imagination of, you know, just a lot of the, I don't know, you know, the positive metaphysical crowd, you know, just that these are Satanist blood drinkers is just kind of the ultimate extreme. But you're also not really criticizing anyone in this world. You don't really offend anyone. It's kind of safe territory. So, I don't know. I guess I was all over the place then.
You mean when they don't refer to them as Jews that are carrying out those crimes?
Sure, but I mean also getting so esoteric in the motives and in the you know, groups and practices, you know, that it just gets too obscure to I don't know. David, do you see where I'm going with this?
Yes. You know, we're kind of going into some more esoteric parts of this, and there is a, I would say, at the top rung of this cabal, people that engage in such practices. And, you know, the story of blood libel goes back to the Middle Ages. You know, I mean, this is nothing new. These, you know, accusations against the Jews, and you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. This has been around for a very long time. Back in the Middle Ages, they accused Jews of taking the blood of children and mixing it in with their challah bread as part of this blood libel idea. So, but I do, in all honesty, think that there's something to this at the upper levels of this club. And I think to get into the club, you have to partake in these very dark rituals, including pedophilia, blood drinking, human sacrifice, all of it. And that's the kind of club that once you join, you don't leave alive.
Well, great points. And I mean, yeah, I think, but those things have the shock value and the sort of initiation and blackmail potential. But the things I speak of, you know, are probably resigned more to the intellectuals, more occultist higher ups. But I mean, there is definitely a suppression with modern science and religion to separate the physical science from metaphysics, you know, and to act the two are mutually exclusive. If you invest your belief in one, you have to assume the other is not correct. And the only way you can truly utilize your reality and your place in it, your people's place in it, is by harnessing both and acknowledging both in their relationship to one another. And that is knowledge that's ancient, forbidden knowledge that's been suppressed. So that was the part I meant to.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I agree with that, too. You know, not all of the ancient mystery schools were evil. You know, if you read some of Manly P. Hall's work, a lot of people think he was evil. But I don't believe that. The secret teachings of all ages, you know, it does go into some of this information. The man was incredibly prolific, and some of his books talk about some very esoteric things. I know it's offensive to some people because it contradicts certain religious messages. But I do believe, I have great respect for Christianity, and I'm not knocking it. But sometimes you have to be willing to look at information that's outside of what's established by religion. And I do believe that there was mystery schools and esoteric and let's say metaphysical information that was not evil. They did have to have secret societies back then because they were, possibly going to be burnt at the stake by the Pope if they got caught, you know, preaching any kind of thing heretical. So it was a very real threat. So there were secret societies that were actually good, I believe, back in ancient times.
Well, so I'm getting a little lost in the esotericism, and it might just be getting a little late, and am I making an excuse for myself for having a hard time following? But I'm looking at BitChute right now, and I don't mean to be redundant, but if you look at the top scroll area, you'll see stuff like, be this guy, and it's like a guy folding it while everybody else is putting doing the Roman salute during the Hitler's Germany. This guy's standing there with his arms folded. It says, be this guy. And I remember I've seen this meme before in someone else's somewhere. And it's, what am I going to do? Am I going to die? I was on Catherine Austin Fitz's site.
They can't show it with a group of people in front of Stalin. It has to be Hitler, right?
Yeah. And real, I don't want you guys to lose your train of thought on what you were talking about, because I didn't mean to
And I think we're treading lightly, too, because no one wants to offend anyone else. I mean, William, you're a Christian, for example. Some of our other friends on the station are as well. Scorpio and I have maybe a bit of a more, I don't know, alternative spiritual.
You know what? I'm going to make this comment that Scorpio was talking about exactly what he was saying when he's saying that he doesn't think that they're ultimately going to win. It's not going to last. This Jewish utopia is not going to last. This is exactly what it says in the Bible, that they're going to get this for like, you know, a couple of weeks or something.
That's what I'm saying. Like I noticed before I came on earlier when you guys were talking in the first segment. I mean, be sure when you present things for Scorpio to relate to you on. I mean, you know, I mean, a Christian can't like interpret the Bible except expecting everyone to have the exact same perception as them.
I have major disagreements. Yeah, right. I have major disagreements with Jeremy on the Bible, but that's okay.
Even fellow Christians. I mean, I don't
know. I'm still learning myself.
I shouldn't speak for you, David. I mean, I just know I was raised Christian, but I don't consider myself a Christian. But I'm very spiritual, is the way I put it. But I shouldn't speak for you.
Well, you know, I guess it's a complicated question, but I certainly have great respect for Christianity because you cannot separate Western civilization from Christianity. You really can't, because the one produced the other. But what we have now, the problem now is that we've got these 501c3 corporate churches that are afraid to speak out about anything real. It wasn't that long ago that the Jews were openly called Christ killers. It was well known. We're not even going that far back. In the 40s and 50s, this was commonly said. And there was a warning not to, let these people take over your civilization, because you're going to have big problems. I'm not someone that would ever bash Christianity.
Right. Wow. I mean, we were talking about the Third Reich and World War II earlier. And I mean, from what I've heard, I mean, Hitler, as well as a few of the others in his inner circle, weren't Christians per se, but they were fine with the bulk of the population promoting Christianity and saw that as a great way to philosophically embrace the morality of the Aryan people. Maybe a way to put it. But I mean, yeah. Some of them appreciated Nietzsche, for example. You know, and I mean, I don't know. I'm open to a lot of different viewpoints, but I mean, certainly, I can see how the survival of the fittest in nature and the evolutionary factors of Nietzsche apply to National Socialism. I'm sorry, William. Go ahead.
David's point. I really like what David's point that he makes. You can't really separate the essence of what Christianity and what Christ taught from Western civilization, because that is exactly why the Jews are trying to destroy it. Because what Jesus actually taught was a fellowship of man. There's plenty of room for everybody to coexist. There's plenty of room on the planet for different races to coexist with each other in their own communities, in their own places, in their own geographical location that's natural. It's the Jews that are trying to mix that all together and destroy it, and just create either a race of humans that are like what it said in the book, slaves or gone or dead, because these supremacist Jews never got past their old covenant. What they think is pertinent to the world now, which isn't. What's pertinent to the world now is actually what Jesus Christ was trying to teach us, and that is, you know, to treat each other well, to to do the things that actually bring about a generative sort of like abundance in your life, and you can't have that if you're like the Jews have stolen everything, because, you know, we have been living by this sort of principle, this altruism, white people, the Europeans have been sort of, because of Christianity, have really set the example of how to actually live, how God actually wants us to be as humanity. And the Jew has not gotten past its Old Testament, early infancy of Christianity. It's like being an infant in Christianity, and God trying to help along these people to, get to where they need to go, but working with them from where they were at, which was moving from this, disgusting paganism into where Jesus Christ and what he was trying to do. Whether you're Christian or not, whether you believe Jesus existed or not, Jesus Christ represents how to behave as a human being, how to treat
well,
each
no,
other.
See,
What?
Well, yeah, you got to treat each other well, but I mean, when you mentioned disgusting paganism, I don't know, I have to.
Well, I'm talking about what's in the Bible. I'm not necessarily talking about what you refer to as paganism, but I'm talking about like sacrificing your children to Moloch, you know, burning, throwing your children into a fire.
Well, okay, but I just know. I mean, you know, they tossed out, you know, the European folk religions, and so you know, I don't know, Jews at least preferred. You know, people following the New Testament to anything of that, as far as what they would do to their adversaries, at the very least. I mean,
I would say, but we did allow
our system of justice and civics to still greatly be influenced from ancient Greece and ancient Rome. You know, and even going back to you know, Cleopatra. I mean, we had Aryan genetics in ancient Egypt. But I mean, so in a lot of ways, how we treat each other is through that civics and justice system. And a lot of that, yes, it did come from thinkers from Greece and Rome. And I mean, the religions, those pagan religions, couldn't have been that insane, all of them, if a lot of them embodied where we got all that from that came to England and United States, you know, justice systems, which is part of white culture. So, I mean, that was kind of extracted from the religious aspect, and you know, Christianity was allowed to take its place for white civilization from those who had influence enough, of course, related to the Rome, you know, the Vatican and such. But you know, I mean, there's a lot more to it. I'm simplifying, obviously, but at the same time, I'm just bringing up some key, you know, notable factors where you can't give everything. Give Christianity in the New Testament credit for everything of Western culture and civilization. That's all.
Yeah, I would just, yeah. And Richard, I apologize for talking over you earlier. But I was, you're making some good points. And I would say that they adapted Christianity, the Europeans. It's self-evident that if they adapted to Christianity the way they did, then whatever the paganism that you're saying that they were practicing prior to Christianity, it would say that it would give, you know, weight to what you're saying, that these whatever they were practicing, they could be easily adapted to Christianity, right? So then they weren't maybe possibly very much different, you know, in their philosophies. What about David? What do you think?
Well, I would just point out that the Moloch worship was a Semitic religion. That was ancient Jews doing this practice. And I believe that a lot of these ancient practices are actually in place today with the so-called modern-day Satanism. It's really a continuation of a very ancient religion that is practiced secretly. The Sabbatean Jews admittedly have done this, the Frankist Jews. And so European paganism, that's a whole different discussion, but it was quite a bit different. But it's gone now, so there's really no point in you know, going too deep into it, because it's not coming back.
I might just say that the I'll throw out like this, because I've been following with Lorraine Day's Bible studies, right? And so I don't profess to say exactly what I believe or to get dogmatic about any of it, but this is a woman that's read the Bible 30 times, and that it was the Jewish practices back in those days, it wasn't really, according to the Bible, it wasn't really the Jewish practice. It was just that the God was trying to move these people, the Israelites, into his direction. And they kept getting... we're on a break. Okay, we'll be right back.
You are to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Color in your cheeks. Do you ever get that fear that you can't shift the tide that sticks around like summits in your teeth?
All right, we're back, folks. I'm digging Travis's some of his bumper music. That's the Black Keys there. I think that's the Black Keys. Well, it sounds like the Black Keys. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe it doesn't to somebody, but it sounds like the Black Keys to me. What do you guys think? Nothing? Well, you're on mute, Richard, if you're talking. I don't know. What happened? David's not with us. He's dropped.
Yeah, something came up, he said. I guess maybe he stepped out of the room. But
yeah, oh, go, okay. Okay, yeah, I had stepped away to step away for a second. All right, so let's take our callers. We've got we got JR in Georgia, and then we have Al in Montana. JR has been holding for quite a while. JR, sorry about that. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Gentlemen, understand your approach in regards to the Jewish nation. But there's one thing we must take into consideration, how we identify the Jewish nation. It's not the bound, the geographical boundaries of 1948 that come into play. That's just a geographical location. The tribe of Israel was formed by the God that created Abraham, David, and Jacob. That's not when, not within the confines of the geographical location of Israel. That's just a land plot. And God doesn't give a damn about a land plot. He made his covenant with a certain people called Israel. Because I will remind you, Israel was taken into slavery by Nebuchadnezzar, by the Assyrians. That's how they lost their country. We cannot continue with this day-long condemnation of the Jews being responsible for everything that's wrong in this world.
Well, J.R.,
yes, sir.
I'm going to just go ahead and reply. So what I agree with you in the sense of what you said about the land plot being completely meaningless. The spirit of Israel is and the covenant. All right. The covenant. I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but the covenant of God was transformed in the New Testament. It was taken from, you know, this physical thing for the Jews or whatever you want to call them, the Israelites, because the Jews is actually the Jews of today have absolutely no connection to the Israelites of the Bible. No connection whatsoever. They are the synagogue of Satan. And in fact, it says this in the Bible. So God himself commanded us to know the difference between the imposters and the actual true Israelites, who are the Christians, those who have accepted Jesus Christ. So when you're talking about the Israelites, we're not condemning the Israelites, because the true Israelites, they don't belong to the landmass. They are the spiritual collection of those that have accepted Jesus Christ into their heart and accepted, you know, the practices and the way that what Jesus taught us how to behave as human beings. The Jews behave in the exact opposite way, and they killed Jesus Christ and have been rebels against God ever since. So that's the big deception, and that was the only tweak I would kind of make to what you're saying. Otherwise, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think that there's a lot of Christians out there that believe that the Jews are God's chosen people, and that they have a right to go and steal this land from the Palestinians and reclaim. And there's no reclaim, because they have no connection to the Bible in the first place. So
no,
just that.
I don't disagree with you. I do not disagree with your statement. But for us to believe, and to most evangelicals in the United States and their understanding of Israel, they're very misled. The tribe of Israel is not identified by a geographical land plot, as you just stated. It's a spiritual tribe that's all over the face of the earth, extending beyond these so-called geographical lines of the state of Israel. I do not support Jews in general, because those are the individuals who voted to set a murderer free. And crucify Jesus Christ. They made right. that choice. They had that vote. They had that vote. That was on them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I know my Bible well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you're referring to Barabbas, the man that they set free instead of Jesus. And then, you know, and so, and the Jews were responsible for that political pressure against Pontius Pilate to do that, just that very thing there. And so that, you know, and even the Jews themselves could come back and say, we were wrong, we're sorry, and repent of this sin that they've committed. But they still do not. They just double down on their behavior and continue to be behind. I mean, I know you're also saying that it's not cogent for us to continue to blame the Jews for everything in the world. And you're right in some sense, because we have to take responsibility for how we have been bamboozled by the Judaizing. You know, that's how I see it. You could say that that's blaming them. You could make that argument that I'm saying that by the Judaizing of our culture, of our countries, of taking over all of the political levers of power that exist in the world, for pretty much, you know, being behind the one world government that's described in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation also warning us in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, right? Against the synagogue of Satan, those who preach to be Jews but are not. But I even think that the word Jew is mistranslated by the translators, that it's actually should be referring to the Judahites, who were the sort of quintessential Christians prior to when Christ showed up. And so then when Christ showed up, those who followed Christ took on the actual covenant by God to be the body of Israel.
And that's a spiritual tribe. It's not yes. a. It's not a by skin or color or breed or creed. It's by spirit. That spirit was born.
Right.
That's the tribe of Israel that God speaks of and His covenant to that tribe.
Yeah. So, what do you think is happening? Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
No, sir, you go ahead.
Well, what do you think's happening with the evangelical Christians with respect to, you know, we have these preachers like John Hagee, right, who are saying that they keep saying that, you know, any Christian that disputes that the Jews are God's chosen people, or that the Jews have the right to, you know, to have the landmass of Israel. What do you think about this? Because it seems that most of evangelical Christianity has been bamboozled by this, and are, you know, especially in the mainstream, and have really gotten on board with this. And it kind of sounds like from, you know, some of your comments were sort of echoing some of this. I mean, it wasn't like a lot of what you were saying was echoing what I believe, and we could meet in the middle, and we actually are able to find common ground here. This is a fantastic conversation that we're having. But what do you think about that? You know, this deception that's occurred with these people that call themselves Christians will say, "Well, replace the word Jews. It says Jews in the Bible as a mistranslation. And let's just take that." But it's actually Christians. So those who call themselves Christians but are not, they don't actually call themselves Christians, they call themselves Jews because that's what's in the Bible, so they're able to continue forward with saying that. So it kind of takes the deception to another level. Does that make sense what I'm asking? So now you have the evangelical Christianity that's really fallen under this umbrella, because I think maybe they don't actually read these pieces and these important parts of the Bible, like Revelation 2:9, 3:9, John 8:44, where Jesus says, "You are of your father, the devil," talking to the Pharisees. It seems that they've completely forgotten. John Hagee certainly isn't going to mention these parts of the Bible, right? Well, let me kick it to you. What do you think?
No, sir. I believe in an almighty God. and he will save all those he needs to save. And as you just suggested, in the book of Revelations, they shall come from all tongues of nations. These are my people. These are the sheep that I sent my son to save. There are no physical, geographical issues in this secular world we live in. It's all spiritual.
Yeah, I agree God with you on that one.
God has chosen his children. Yeah. And Jesus is by the way we get to God. I do not care about winning a war in Israel or Dagum, Iran, or any other place in this world. Anything in this world is irrelevant.
You made a lot of great points, sir, and I agree as well. And the spiritual is ultimately the battlefield we have before us. And I mean, the metaphysical sciences, though, they do embrace that. And I think Christians and non-Christians alike, I mean, you know, can appreciate that in the good sense. It's not all evil to look into those areas. But, you know, I like what you had to say, too, JR. William, I see you do have two more in the queue.
Yeah. So thank you for the call, JR. Really appreciate the discussion. Fantastic discussion. Feel free to call in again anytime. We got Al in Montana. Al, welcome. And then we have Ken in Texas. So, Ken, we got you. So don't worry. We'll get to you. Welcome.
This is
Al.
Your rebel to God, Christ killer, reporting for duty, sir. I'm just kidding. I called Chris Switzerchild last week and talked about the magnet school program, which I was a part of as a young Jewish kid. That's why I'm the rebel of God, Christ killer, reporting for duty, sir.
Oh, okay. So you feel persecuted by our statements on this station?
Oh my God, no. I'm a huge fan of RBN. Not at all. When I first heard the comments like that, maybe 8, 10 years ago, probably, I was like, you know, this is what these people are saying about, you know, your people is going to be hard to listen to, but it's going to answer a lot of questions you had growing up, son. It's like when my brain said this.
It will enlighten us on something. Yeah, please. Go ahead. You have the floor.
The magnet school program, I talked to Chris about it, was we had a highly Jewish populated school in the east suburbs of Cleveland that was a city around a Jesuit university. And in fourth grade, we went from 85% Jewish to half and half. They bussed in five busloads of black kids from closer to the inner city when I was in fourth grade, which was 1978 or 9. And so people have been dealing with immigration and all the integration, and it got dumped on me as a fourth grader, and we got along and everything, but it was, looking back, it was realizing decades later that I was growing up in a liberal test tube hellhole, that I was one of the very few, or maybe the only one, that got out at a younger age, kind of got out of the bubble. And when I go back and visit and talk with my friends and all these Jewish people, you know, country club goers and all that, they think I live in the bubble, and they've never left their two or three square mile area where they live.
Well, I really appreciate your call. Well, hey, sir, I really appreciate what you have to say here. I mean, you seem to understand that most people who talk about these things, you know, that they don't have anything against someone if they are willing to reform, their ways and their sort of a group behavior, which can be so detrimental. I mean, I don't know. There are a lot of attributes about modern Judaism, but also going back to practices of the Talmud, but really just when every day Jews who aren't who are secular, you know, will still pass on to their children that I've heard, where yeah, it just is, it does more harm than good, really, and to how you are to other groups as well, the way you're brought up. But no, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with Brother Nathaniel, but I mean, you know, he's a good example. And and anyone who rejects the negative aspects of Judaism is certainly welcome in most ranks that I'm familiar. I mean, William, wouldn't you say the same?
Well, yes, yeah, absolutely. I love this call. I mean, this is the call I've been waiting to have. I just want to, like, you know, the thing I always keep saying is, you know, when it comes to we're a lot of time, we spend so much time trying to field all these Jewish attacks against us, all this Jewish genocide and all this, you know, this Jewish inversion of the truth and everything. And then when you have somebody who's Jewish call in, and you know, I was just like, this is great, because at the end of the day, I want to help the, you know, Jewish people that aren't like consciously perpetrating these crimes against humanity. I want to help them to come to an understanding. And it sounds like you've long since come to that understanding. I mean, this 8 years ago, you've been red-pilled more than I do. And I think that the Jewish people need to be red-pilled just as much as the rest of us. And, you know, I never even saw us as, like, I didn't see this whole, like, you know, Jew Goyim thing. I didn't even know anything about it until like 6 years ago, like not even almost 6 years ago, going on 6 years ago when I first found out about it. And it was actually a Jew that kind of bonked me over the head, specifically about the Holocaust being a massive exaggeration. And then I looked into that and I found out it wasn't just an exaggeration, it was an inversion. So I don't know. I'd love to hear your comments, Al, on this real quick. And then we do got Ken in Texas. We got to get to. But go ahead.
Two quick things. And like a couple of the last thing you said was like the people that I grew up with and you're talking about, they are never going to take a red pill. All right. It's just, I'm like the only one I know of my whole life. And except my dad and my mom, but they're both passed away because they were awake. Anyway, the rest of them won't because they're the system serves them and they can just snub and poo-poo anything that you think is a red pill. Mm. And the other thing, I forgot what the last thing you said was. I got kind of nervous, but I really enjoy this call too. And before you get off the phone, I was doing like some family history research, which I don't want to make this take long, but I like was thinking about three of my most successful family members, and I kind of discovered that they were brushes with greatness kind of stories, and I'd like to call and maybe talk about it another time. But like it turns out that my uncle, who was sort of the patriarch of my entire family, who was in the pharmaceutical business with a company called Revco that then turned into CVS. Revco turned into CVS, and he was in pharmaceutical industry where I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, for like 70 years. And then I find out of nowhere, I just reading an obituary about him, thinking about him. He's a 32nd degree Mason with the like Al-Sirat Grotto. And I went down this rabbit hole like 3 days ago, and I haven't gotten out since, like trying to figure out what the hell, like how deep it goes and how close my family is to like some kind of family you might know by name, but they're not in there, but they're right like brushing up against it in like three different areas. My cousin was sued by all the Motion Picture Association and all the copyright groups in the 90s for like creating a internet DVR that they wanted to sue him out of business because they wanted to come out with the DVR later. It's just crazy stuff, dude.
Right, right. No, it's if you guys come out and do it, you guys are guilty of death, according to the Talmud. I think that's what. So, Al.
Is your email on the website, William?
Yeah, no, Al, please leave your email with the station manager before you go tonight, okay? Because I want to follow up with you and I want to do a separate interview. We can do a whole show together. And if you're okay doing it, I don't do this show, but I do the show before this. It's the Punch Bowl.
I know. I've been listening for 3 hours. Robert Rabel tomorrow. I'm a Freedom Ministry, the Gaddy, and I'm just RBN all day.
Fantastic.
On the weekends especially.
All right. Thanks so much, Al. Look forward to talking to you more.
Thank you.
Take care, bud. All right. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
All right. Cannon, did you have something, Richard, before we take Cannon, Texas?
No.
Okay. Cannon, Texas. Ken, welcome.
Well, I shouldn't wait so long to call in. I got a lot to say, and you guys covered a full spectrum.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, my bad. But let me just say this real quickly, if I can. The biblical narrative tells us that there were two dispersions. You had the Assyrian dispersion, which happened to the house of Israel, which was northern Israel. And then you had the Babylonian dispersion, which happened to the house of Judah. They came back, but while they were gone, the Edomites and the Canaanites took over Jerusalem. And so that's the source of the so-called Jews. Right, so they were Idumeans. They lived in the Judean area, but they weren't of the house of Judah. So you have
that makes sense.
Then you have the house of Israel, which was dispersed through the first dispersion, 721 BC, 722. And then they went all over Europe and everything else. And those are the ones that Paul went to. He didn't go to the Gentiles. He went to the Assyrian dispersion. And I'm having to paint with a broad brush and talk very quickly because there's very little time. So you can punch holes in some of this because there's more detail than what I'm saying, but I have such little time. And the first so-called followers of Christ were called people of the way, and those were the people that were from the house of Judah, including the Benjamites. And most of the apostles were from the tribe of Benjamin. So when they were first called Christians in Antioch, which, by the way, is 36 degrees north latitude and 36 degrees east longitude, interestingly enough, those were the Greek believers, because all the people of the house of Israel dispersion spoke Greek predominantly. Again, oh no, I hear music. Anyhow, another thing, so much to say there, I should have called sooner, but the other thing is, don't let them drive the narrative. We're not white, we're Saxon or Anglo-Saxon or Celtic or Germanic, and we're letting them get away with murder by calling it white this and white that. They're driving the narrative, and we have to stop letting them do that. I wanted to say, but remember one other thing. It's call not back. J6, it's J8, June 8th, 1967. Thank you very much. Good night,
Ken. Thank you. Call back at the Red Pill Punch Bowl next week, 10 to 11.
Good call.
Yeah, Richard, thanks for joining me. What a fantastic discussion this has been. I'm lit up, man. I'm invigorated. Thank you so much, everybody. Absolutely, sir.
Are you one of David the millions too. Of people who
Bye.
Feel like there is a
Have a good night.
World hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.